Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
That Life. All about lifestyle, relationships, cause, and get. From Cassie to the Burb.
From Cassie to the Burb.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's 2015. Black Life is in the house.
Well, it's been 2015 for a while.
It's been 2015.
Yeah, but it feels refreshed to be back.
Oh, some things don't change. Hello, my darling.
Hello. Did you miss me?
I get you gemis. I missed hearing Casper's show, but I caught his podcasts.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
I can't say I have, but we are missing a valuable...
I don't know about valuable, but we're missing a member. I'm a members. You know, members are very valuable.
They're both valuable to me. Shame. I don't know how he could miss his flight. That's terrible.
And he always says, I'm not on time. So yes, now we know the true colors, right?
Let's not go there.
Yes. So how was your holiday, Vilmarie?
It's interesting. Everyone says, oh, you look so refreshed, but I didn't rest.
What?
Because I went to Cape Town and everyone went to Cape Town. It's the worst time of the year to go there.
Did you not know that the Joburg is rent out Cape Town for November and December?
You know what? When I initially looked for a hired car, when they said there's none available, I should have known. But I thought, no, let's go. The beach is big, you know?
Yeah. Finding Sipo. You've never seen those pictures?
No.
Hey? 43 kids lost. Oh, was it 430 kids lost in Camps Bay there?
Oh, my word. No. Yeah. No, it's ridiculous. You queue to eat. You queue to... go to the loo. Well, women always do. You queue for the beach. It's restaurants, everything. It's traffic. It can take up to 1 to 2 hours just to get to a beach.
Right.
So that wasn't fun, no.
Okay.
So I'm going on a holiday soon again.
Again. So you're holidaying for a living now.
I decided now. I'm 35 now, you know.
What?
Yeah.
You've got to start popping those babies now.
So now I've got to start taking it easy.
Yeah, man. Buddha Macy from Pretoria is back, everybody. And I see Duncan's also in one piece. He had a good December. Yeah, no, he had an amazing December. You know, the custard tastes good, dee? Okay, all right.
Stop about people's weight.
All right.
Come on. One day your belly's going to just pop out and then you're going to hear it from everyone.
Yeah, well, thanks for asking, Vilmarie, but my December was good. You know, raising a baby is never an easy task.
Excuse me, I actually asked you the day before, how's the baby doing? Ignored me.
You're not talking to me on my on-air persona now. So, and everybody else doesn't know about my December, you know.
Okay. So how's the baby?
Oh, she's amazing. Oh.
So did you do anything? Amazing. Or do you clean nappies?
Yes, I clean poo. If that's what you're asking. Yes.
I was just being polite.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
That's
also
good.
Being polite. Poo. That's what you call it. Winnie the Pooh.
Okay. So yeah. How old is she now?
She is now 15 weeks.
That's amazing.
Yeah. She grows
every
day.
Send us some pickies.
Yes. No, we'll definitely post some pictures up. And Dumisho's stuck in Cape Town. Like we said, he's stuck on his flight. We don't really care how his holiday was. So,
he looks good when we saw him the other day. So
no,
I'm
he
sure
doesn't.
It all
he still looks
well.
Fat. Anyway, we've got
some cool guests.
Yes, we have some amazing guests today. And first up, Peteni, our regular... guest.
Busy. Happy 2015, my brother.
Happy.
Good to see you, man. Vilmarie, compliments
Hello.
Of the new year, my
Thank
dear.
Thank you. Same to you.
Yeah.
And how was your holidays?
It was good, hey?
Yeah?
Relaxed.
Did you run?
I didn't run, actually. I was saying to Vilmarie, I managed to get on the road this morning. Did 8Ks after 10 weeks.
Yeah.
But it was 10 weeks of injuries. One freak accident. And
when someone stepped on your toe.
On my toe.
Big toe.
Yeah, at a wedding.
Sure.
And I kind of took it lightly, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it put me out of running for about 6 weeks.
Right. Now I remember the last time you were on air, we had a bet.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us what happened?
What bet?
You know,
that you'd run a... No. He said he'd run a half marathon.
Yes.
To put his legs where his money was.
Yes.
Or his mouth was, rather.
Whatever.
Did you do it?
I put my everything in my everything.
So refresh my mind. Did you actually get down to doing that half marathon or not?
No, because your team lost.
My team lost.
Yes, remember what happened. Amnesia, selective memories.
Refresh my memory a bit.
Let me remind you. Chiefs whipped Pirates' ass.
Lost in other words, your butt is saved.
My butt saved, but now I've got to obviously tell you what you need to do, you know, because we put in 10,000 rand bet as well. Hey?
No, we didn't actually. You were too chicken to actually say this is the bet. You just were like,
he does make up things.
He makes up things. I mean, I remember specifically saying, let's talk about what the bet will be. And you were like, nah, man, you know, I'm not too sure if my team will win.
I thought we had this on lockdown, P.
Nah. We can go back to the podcast and actually check out.
That's very easy.
You know? Let's download the podcast. And whoever loses that bet again actually does something this time around.
Look, we can have another bet. It's the new season. The soccer season started. So
he doesn't learn. You Pirates supporters do not learn.
Yeah. But I had a lovely, lovely, lovely December nonetheless.
Sure. So what were you up to? Just running.
I didn't run.
Interesting.
You're not listening to what I'm saying. I said to you, I wasn't running for 10 weeks.
So what were you doing? Because you don't even look like you put on a single.
I took some time out. I went to Mozambique for about eight days. That was nice.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, just after Christmas.
Okay. Came back. Were you going alone? Partner, nyana, you know.
With friends. We went there with friends.
Is that what they call
it? Yeah.
Okay. Alrighty then.
But it was good, eh? Some good rest. Funny, Vomery talks about people saying you look refreshed. But yeah, man, you don't really get some time to rest these days, eh?
It's not enough, eh?
Switch off your phone, then you'll get rest.
No, it's not that easy. No, the phone was the least of my problems. It takes you 2 weeks, you start relaxing, then you got to come back.
But you were tweeting, you were Facebooking.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you were.
Mm-mm.
I get your
You're thinking of just after my birthday. I didn't touch it.
So where are you off to in terms of holidays? Which places are you thinking of?
I want a decent ski holiday.
Oh, nice.
I think that's fireplace, red wine.
I can smell the fish here. Wilmarie's found a man. You know when you go skiing, it's cuddling, it's fireplaces.
Found a man.
It's spooning.
Mommy, Baba.
Huh?
No. No, I wear this to like hold them away, but apparently it's a challenge for some.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, are you married? I want to have your kids for me.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. If you married, then they're more eager.
Yeah, no. But we're starting the year on quite a high today.
Yes.
We've got a special guest, a crazy guest, I think, in my humble opinion.
I want to see if I can pronounce it.
Okay.
Nklankla.
Yeah, it's two syllables. Yay. Yeah, well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, you deserve that holiday.
Thank you.
Welcome, Tantla. Welcome to Cliff Central. Welcome to Black Life.
Thank you. I hope my kids are listening.
Yeah. Oh, no. So, by the way, we're unrated. Them. We'll rate our show for it's uncensored. Cliff Central's uncensored.
Okay.
So it's unradio.
Uncensored.
Uncensored. Oh, dear Lord. Okay. Anything goes.
No, we can.
Swear
How old
no,
are
no,
they?
You can't.
And your kids won't even.
21 and 17.
Ah, no, they're legal. See, the rule of thumb on our show is that
you're gonna
if
see
your kids.
True colors now.
No, not a chance.
If your kids touch the. If your kids' legs, when sitting down, can touch the floor, they're legal.
They're legal.
What about the one that sleeps on the top side of the bunk bed?
If they can touch the floor, they're legal. Okay. They can date, actually.
Wait till his daughter gets a little
older. Yeah. So says the guy with the daughter with 15 weeks old.
I bought my hand grenades. I bought my bazookas. I'm going to pull an Oscar on those kids. Welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you.
Welcome. I know why we have you here.
Okay. You haven't said my full name, by the way, so it might help.
Mcibi.
Yeah, Ntanta S. It's quite a common name, so the middle initial does help. I won't tell you my name, my middle name. It's embarrassing.
Oh, dear. Now you have to tell us everything.
I'll tell you at the end. After the 4-hour interview.
Now you've got our attention. So let's get straight into it.
Samantha.
Samantha,
Msibi. I think we'll just call you Samantha for the show. Hey, Ntanta.
Sammy.
Yeah. But you've recently written a book.
Yes.
A very, very controversial book.
Well, we don't know that. The cover so far is controversial. It's called The Delayed Revolution. Swaziland in the 21st century. For those that haven't read it, it's on Amazon.com. It's online
right,
for the time being.
So you've got it online.
Yes.
Right.
And I can recite the ISBN if you allow me at some point.
Sure.
Mm.
Sure.
I hope I can.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. This is someone who's a researcher at heart.
Yeah.
A professional researcher.
Yeah.
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 So, what made you write the book first and foremost? And what is the book about? Because, you know, we don't want to do it injustice.
Sure.
You know, Swaziland has always been a very sore topic.
Yeah.
You know, people don't talk about it. It's that little brother or sister that South Africa is always referring to. It's saved us a couple of times as South Africans.
Yeah.
It's destructed us a couple of times. Yeah. You know, we've loaned the king and his royalty money.
Yeah.
So why the need for a book about Swaziland?
Thank you very much, firstly, for having me. This is my first radio interview for having written the book and launched it on the 22nd of December last year. If you've ever... The unfortunate thing about Swaziland is that the narrative for the past 25, 6 years that King Mswati III has been in power has largely been about him and his wife, his many wives, sorry, he's 14 or 15 now, the count changes. And unfortunately, it has diluted what is potentially a great nation. I'm born and bred Swazi and I'm very proud of it. I'm a South African by naturalization. In 1990, when Mr. Mandela was released from prison,
right.
In many ways, those of us that were 1920 at the time felt liberated enough to leave Swaziland, go and educate ourselves all over the world. And I do mean all over the world. I have friends in Kyoto, Japan.
Right, right.
In Hong Kong, as I speak, hope they're listening. In Vancouver, Canada, the US, Belgium, everywhere.
Right.
People that live, like me, Swaziland, with a few... of someday returning to rebuild the country. And at the time, Swaziland was in an okay place. It was never really that economically successful. And I think that largely because it has a small population. But over the years, Swaziland has slid gradually into a socio-economic abyss. One-third of the country is made up of orphans.
Sure. Wait.
That's true. One-third.
And what's the population?
It's about 1.2 million people. Many of whom, probably about a third or less, are Mozambicans, second generation Mozambicans who stayed in the country after the Mozambican War. Hmm. And so they're a mix of Swazi and Portuguese blood and remain behind. So strictly speaking, Swazis are probably give or take 1 million, including all the people that are outside the country. Hmm. Probably a little more because they're third and fourth generation Swazis. My kids are South African, but they're Swazi because I'm Swazi. They do say that in Swaziland, at least, that you're what your dad is, unfortunately, for better or for worse.
Right.
So it's a very small country. And the reason I wrote the book was to give a historic narrative and a far broader context about where Swaziland comes from, particularly from 1899 when King Sobhuza, King Mswati's father, was born and how he ruled Swaziland over 60 years and how King Mswati has run Swaziland for the past 26 years and why Swaziland is in such a poor state. It's, to all intents and purposes, it's a failed African state. It relies a lot on what's called SACU receipts,
right.
South African Customs Unions. So receipts. In the absence of that, we'd probably rely on aid because we have very little going for us economically. Sugar once before was once the greatest export until the EU decided to cut its demand from Swaziland at least because at some point 10 years ago, about year 2000, stop right. me if I'm talking too much,
When you say we,
Swazis.
Do you still stay there?
No,
you
live
stay here.
But
you still talk we?
Us. Yeah, I'm very much Swazi. First and foremost,
okay.
After being a born-again Christian, I'm very much Swazi. I'm South African by naturalization, so after 10 years of working here, the government gave me the benefit of the doubt and said, you don't have a criminal record.
So we felt sorry for you.
So
we
felt sorry for
okay.
me, and you stamped my passport for the last time and then gave me an ID.
Oh!
So here I am.
Let's change that.
Well, talking about ID, I just want to quickly interrupt if I can.
Sure.
You know what I just found out, and it was so traumatizing, that they actually spelled my name wrong on my ID.
then you are South African.
I suppose.
Wait till you find out you're married to someone in Mali.
You're married to
then
me.
You're really South African.
OBC.
We're married officially in community.
But you know, that's a big thing because someone said my name, Vilmarie. I was like, no, I'm Vilmarie. No, but you got a thingy on your E. No, I don't. And then I went and looked at my ID.
It's the French. Benjamin on the French, yeah?
But it's not like that on my birth certificate. So they just went and did their thing.
So you don't have an apostrophe? That you
no,
should.
I shouldn't have.
You shouldn't have, okay.
No,
yeah.
And they've just added it. But anyway, sorry for going off the topic.
No, that's cool. Yeah. So that's basically why the book is 12 chapters, and it spans 1899 to right up to 2011, to the year, the controversial year, yet another, when Kingdom Saudi III secretly borrowed 2.4 billion rand, not necessarily from the South African government, but from Jacob Zuma as his potential brother-in-law.
Oh, no.
That's why it was controversial. For those of you who don't understand, or don't know, President Zuma proposed to a Swazi princess in the year 2000. Yes. And in the book, I do explain why they didn't eventually get married, but he paid not the equivalent of lobola. This is also in the book. He paid 10 cows to the royal family to express his intention for the princess at the time. So he then became a member of the royal family by extension. In 2011, naturally, King Mswati, when the country fell into financial trouble in 2011, decided to extend, decided to plead to a member of the family, that being President Zuma, to borrow secretly 2.4 billion rand for the national fiscus in Swaziland. I know this is rather convoluted, but it is true. At some point, COSATU, or the opposition in Swaziland and COSATU, discovered, it leaked out, and they started making noises. And President Zuma may have panicked, and maybe gave the signs that perhaps the best thing is to formalize it, get Swaziland, in other words, the central bank or the equivalent, to contact the national treasury here. At that time, it was Praveen Gordhan, or Gordhan as Minister of Finance, and do this more openly because of the controversy that it was drawing.
Right.
But what happened is that King Mswati then decided to announce it formally in Swaziland, and it caused all sorts of problems. But we'll get there if you ask me that part of it.
So he's basically gave them our money. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the question of whether or not the money did eventually end up in Swaziland is still open to debate or research, which is what I'm going to do. Because the Swazi government became reluctant to accept the money because COSATU and the Swazi opposition placed demands that if South Africa is going to lend or whatever it is, that 2.4, it's fine, but there have to be reforms. There has to be give and take. It can't just be a secret loan. Mm. And the Swazis became reluctant to sign on the dotted line because it would have meant that they're being blackmailed, in their view, into turning Swaziland into a real democracy, which, of course, is something that the rest of the world still waits for. Now, whether or not the money ended up there, your guess is as good as mine. But it came very close to it. When I update the book, you'll find out.
So you clearly want to expose things. Is that your main reason for this?
No, that's not one. That's one of the main reasons. The Swaziland is controversial by virtue of its existence under King Mswati III. Unfortunately, there's far more to being Swazi than this theme that the king and his wives, when the king, what he does, it doesn't do it. And the controversy. Swaziland is a nation of people. Just like Israel exists and the Jews are proud of it wherever they may be, it is sacred to a lot of us that are outside the country. And I'm one. I'm 110% Swazi, if I could use that. Secondly, Swaziland does not belong to any particular group. It belongs to a nation of people that are scattered all over the world. It does not belong to one person, whether it's king or the queen mother, or it is a sovereign state. And it should be governed as such. But unfortunately, if you read the book, The Delayed Revolution, you come to realize that in many ways, Swaziland belongs to the royal family, which is terribly unfortunate. And many of us have left the country and sat outside wondering what's going to happen and who's going to save us, whether it's the coming of Christ, and I don't mean that facetiously, or someone who's going to solve our problems. And the fact is, no one is. I was born in 1970, and I think there's an obligation for me as a Swazi citizen to validate my claim to love the country, to loving the country, to actually get off my backside and do something about the country. So the first thing I did was to tell the world who and what Swaziland is and how it came about and why it is that we're such a failed state.
Sure. So in your book, you basically describe the saving grace of Swaziland. Or let me put it this way. You expose the monarchy for what it's worth.
I expose Swaziland over the past 100 years.
Discuss Swaziland.
I discuss Swaziland. It's right. A historical narrative.
Okay.
And I explain the different milestones. For example, the murky relationship between the Swazis, the ANC, and the apartheid state.
Right, right.
And why it is that there is so much to... There's still so much to be told in that respect alone, for example, disappearances.
Right.
That the TRC this side, for example, never covered because the mandate never extended that far.
Okay.
But believe it or not, the highest number of people, and I stand corrected, the highest number of people assassinated outside South Africa happened in Swaziland. Not many people know that. And in part, Eugene de Kock is responsible for that. He assassinated, for example, in November 1983, a brother to Sipho Nyanda, Zweli Nyanda.
Right, right.
That was after Sipho died. And these things have meant that those of us that are a younger generation of Swazis carry that burden because it's a shameful stain on our history.
Right.
Mm.
You're taking on some big things and you're going to expose and scratch, you know, when we open that wound.
Yeah, let's open. Let's go.
But, I mean, aren't you scared?
No, I'm not. Okay. My love for Swaziland is far greater than my existence as a human being. This is about my generation, my peers, what the obligation to rebuild this country on the foundation of truth.
Okay.
We have to understand that if what you're fixing, you've got to know what's broken. So I explained Swaziland from 1899. So for the first 6 years between 1899 to 1959, up to about independence in 1968, we were governed by the British. So I explained what happened there and how we evolved as a nation.
Okay.
Then I explain.
In a brief summary,
yeah.
What did happen?
Well, King Sopuza was courageous enough to stand his ground, and we were never really colonized. We were administered. There's a big difference. We're administered by the British.
Okay.
Until 1968, and then we got full independence, thanks to the courage of largely one man. But he had many shortcomings, as we find out in the book, as a king and as a man.
Right.
Yeah.
So is it safe to say that you feel that this is your purpose or one of them? Because
well,
you have kids.
I do have kids. Well, to answer your, go back to your question. The second is that we owe it to our kids, the next generation. My kids, as I said, are almost adults now, to explain to them why it is that Swaziland is such a failed state. Whether you like it or not, Swaziland
but
is poor.
What are you basing failure of Swaziland on?
The socioeconomic state that it's in. Most Swazis, the majority of Swazis, have for a long time survived on less than $1 a day. Now, if you drive into Mbabane or Manzini, you wouldn't see that. People aren't falling all over the street and crawling and begging
not,
for a meal.
Not like we're doing it in South Africa.
But why don't the Swazi people stand up? You know, why don't they stand together and...
Well, that's a very good question, and it comes up time and again. You see, although King Mswati has a firm grip on power and on the constitution in Swaziland, he's not as brutal a head of state or monarch as, or a head, leader as, for example, the North Koreans are under Kim Jong-un, the son, or father and son. But, so that's the one reason. So, what you find is, because of that, there is no immediate threat on people's lives. People aren't running for the hills. Whether or not it'll happen is open to debate. And even though they are hungry, they're not starving in the sense that Ethiopians did in the middle of the 80s. But that too may come. But that's not enough for us not to do or say anything. The other thing is that our psyche as Swazis, believe it or not, is such that because we've been ruled by the royal family for the past 400 years, we don't know any better. That's the third answer. The fourth thing is, there is something in us that believes that we have to be ruled by someone.
Right.
And I'm talking about the royal family. And you, if you read the book, it's too long to explain here. The celestial rank in Swaziland is such. There's God, there's the king, there's the constitution, and then there are commoners. Now, if you don't get that, you won't understand why it is the Swazis aren't about to revolt. They believe they have to be, firstly, the royal family believes it will govern over others because they have a God-given right to. Now, right. So that's not written anywhere except in my book. It's implied. You have to live in Swaziland and you have to listen carefully and to understand that that's how we think as well. It's ingrained in us. And that's wrong. Because I'll tell you why. Tomorrow, if King Mswati III wakes up tomorrow in a bad mood, and I'm not being facetious, in a bad mood, he can suspend the constitution, and there's absolutely nothing anyone can do. Nothing.
Right. But is that not a monarchy? Is that how...
It's an absolute monarchy. It's a wrong. It's an absolute... It means he governs above the constitution.
Right.
Elsewhere...
He's his own god.
Precisely. In South Africa, no matter whoever is in power... They are subordinate to the constitution. So they can't just do things willy-nilly. Even if they do, they won't get away with it. The line is drawn at the constitutional court.
Right.
Where the court says, you shall do this, you shall reverse this law because it is unjust. In Swaziland, the king can give you the middle finger. He can wake up tomorrow and without explaining to anyone and rule by decree. Now,
that's quite a scary thought.
It's real.
And now, let's take it to a monarchical society. I mean, let's take it to the UK, for example. Does that not apply there?
No, it doesn't. The queen in Queen Elizabeth II she doesn't have that kind of power. The parliament does present to her bills that are promulgated
right.
for her validation, but she doesn't have the final word.
So who does?
It's a board.
The parliament.
Yes.
Parliament. Does. That's why you need the separation of powers. The executive which is the presidency, the equivalent of the presidency or whoever rules.
Okay.
The legislature, the people in parliament, and the judiciary are three separate institutions that must exist separately. They may cooperate as they should,
right.
but they exist separately. In Swaziland, the king sits above them. In other words, there is nothing collectively or individually these three institutions can do if King Mswati decides to hell with the constitution this afternoon. And that is true. It may happen. It hasn't happened yet, but mark my words.
So basically, if he's hormonal, there's going to be a problem for everyone. So I think we should just go to a music break quickly and then come back because I want to hear more about that later. But we also have a guest, Justice, here now to
Justice
tell us a little
bit more.
Justice
is on African time. Welcome, brother.
Yeah.
One of us.
Grandma's hand. Clapped in church on Sunday morning. Grandma's hand played a tambourine so well. Grandma's hand used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's hand. Grandma's hand soothed the local unwed mother. Grandma's hand used to hand me piece of candy. Grandma's hand picked me up each time I fell. Grandma's hand, boy, they really came in a handy. She'd say, Matty, don't you whip that boy. What you wanna spank him for? And drop no apple core, but I don't have grandma anymore. If I get to heaven, I'll look for grandma's hand.
Yes, we're back. Oh, I'm loving the first show in 2015.
Good to be back. And you got a chocolate.
I did.
Now, I'm curious because I heard some thunder and lightning. Is it Justice or Justice?
Whichever you prefer.
Okay, we'll go with Justice today because we're cool. talking about those kind of things. But when you came in on African time.
Yes, let's mention that. A white Afrikaans Burasian is on Black Man's Time.
My car fell into a pothole.
Fell.
It's very possible.
Yeah, it slid off the rain, made it slide off the road.
Okay.
And it fell into a pothole.
And he's a motoring journalist, right?
Yes. Whose cars do you taste, Justice?
They're little home-built projects. So I take two lawnmowers. And an old
and he's funny too. Funny journalist in the house.
It's a Volvo V40cc.
Oh dear, did you damage their car?
No, not at all. Oh. No. They Volvos are made of high-grade steel. They're actually famous for their steel. Their symbol is actually, it looks like the male symbol, but it's actually the symbol for iron.
You can't talk to me. Yeah. Look at me while you talk to me. Yeah.
Sending a big shout out to Michelle.
If I look at you, I get nervous, so I'd rather just look away and speak into the mic.
Are you married, Justin?
No. Is that an offer?
Stop it.
Are you single?
BC, stop it.
Are you single?
At the moment, yes.
Okay, and how old are you?
43.
He's going to try
just
something.
Just the perfect age. Okay, well.
For what?
Well, you know, the person who's thinking that they're going to try something, you know, is available as well, you know. There's a ring there, but there's, you know, trust me, you know.
I know that the rings are often there to keep the flies away.
Yes, there we go, there we go. So you know that there's no flies.
I know that story.
Right.
See.
So,
I'm curious about, I think you also wrote a book, and you've done some serious, also presenting to newspapers, to websites. Please tell us a little bit about your background.
When I was at varsity, I discovered that publishing, well, back then, is the funnest thing you can do with your clothes on. And then I became a journalist, and I started off doing the normal journalist things like court reporting and crime. But there was so much crime, it actually made me very nervous. So
depressed.
Yeah. So, you know, you're sitting in a studio over a weekend, and there are the police reports, the police spokesperson sends in a report on 20 rape cases. Then you think, okay, now which is the most sensational? Which am I going to?
That's terrible, yeah.
But I think crime levels have, I'm optimistic, I think crime levels have decreased from sort of 1995, 96. 97 when I did that job. But then a long time later I started a short-lived magazine in the Free State, and because I've always loved cars, it featured a motoring section, and then I just, cars or writing about cars and motorcycles just became a bigger and bigger part of what I did. So I became a motoring hack, as we are sometimes referred to.
Aren't you also part? I remember you getting an award at the Guilds. What was that for? The Motoring Guild evening?
That was a sneaky little entry. There was a category called Environmental Feature of the Year. And I wrote quite a long story for Rapport where I... it was just after the Nissan Leaf was launched, South Africa's first electric car. Well, not South Africa's, but the first one to be sold here. And so I wrote an article saying, what does it mean, the coming of the electric car after all these years, because a fact that few people know is that London had a fleet of electric taxis in the 1890s called the Hummingbirds, but that's a different story.
They don't still have them?
No, they don't.
Okay. So you did you actually got an award on this write-up that you did?
Yeah. It was just the award, the Guild of South African Guild of Motoring Journalists have a little award ceremony that's sort of, I think, sponsored by Toyota, and then they award prizes for they reward excellence in writing to the motoring fraternity. They also have others like Motoring Sportsman of the Year is coming up.
I was there as well. We actually had, remember we spoke about this, BC, when I came back, and I said to them one of the things for me that was said to see was that there wasn't enough young people there.
No, there's no black people there.
I wasn't saying black. I said young.
Oh, sorry. I lost.
There was one black person.
I'm mentoring someone at the moment. So his name is Muntu. So I have high hopes for him.
Really?
But yeah, it's going to take Samantha. Two or three. No, not Samuntu or Samantha. Muntu.
It's a joke before you got here.
Okay. Yeah, so, but yeah, we need more. Well,
younger, because there was
but
one
Sean
young guy.
But Sean nursed it really well.
Yes.
Yeah, he writes for
well.
Auto Dealer.
But it was just the one guy. Yeah. The rest was, I'm sorry, but older people.
Also, I thought that radio was a bit underrepresented.
Radio wasn't, wasn't
well,
even.
Well, not underrepresented, but maybe under-awarded.
Yes, because I know Radio Tygerberg didn't get anything.
And that show is beautiful.
Yes, Villa Villa and all kinds of other things. So, but I'm curious, just on a different note, because I'm sure you would know the inside on this. Newspapers, look, I don't read it, but in general, people are not reading it as much anymore. Mm. Am I right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's hard to make a business case for newspapers because you have to deliver all of those bloody things all over the country, all that diesel. You know, the logistical cost is very high.
Toll gates.
And then the, printing is expensive, paper.
But also the time frame. Now with social media, it seems to be instant.
Yeah.
And then it takes time to print and then you see the news.
Look, I won't write off newspapers just yet because they do offer. If you look at Sunday newspapers, for example, it's a ritual for many people. Yeah. I don't think it's a ritual that's necessarily passed on from the current generation or the older generations to the next.
Definitely not.
But I think for daily news, people are relying on Twitter and news websites, News24 or the Afrikaans Netwerk 24.
Or like Cliff Central now.
Yeah, or like Cliff Central.
Mm. Which, I mean, it's online. It's you can listen on your phone. So
yes. And yeah, and you can listen to podcasts whenever you want to. If you miss something, if it's raining like today and the potholes are 10 meters by 10 meters by 10 meters, then you don't even have
just
to go out
to
and
fit
buy
your car in just.
Yeah, you don't have to go and buy a newspaper, you can get it online. But newspapers still carry authority and weight, and I think I think a few newspapers will survive, and it's going to become like a status symbol for a big manufacturer to advertise in print or in a glossy magazine to say this publication costs 50 rands or whatever. And my ad in there costs 400,000 rand, but I'm Audi and I have the clout and the money to do that. I mean, Audi just, I read something about a few new models they're investing in 22 billion euros. For the, I think two of them will be the Audi Q4 and the Audi Q2.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have to wrestle the names away from Fiat first because they own the names. But yeah, just the big motoring companies have mega bucks.
How would Fiat own that?
It was on the, for example, on the Alfa Romeo Spider Q4 is the
four
wheel drive.
So the Q4, that's the problem.
Yeah,
that bit.
Audi wants those names to complete their Q range.
But how can you actually own that? Because that's, you know, now when we try and register a company, you can't own something like that because it's algemeen.
I don't know how it works. It must be trademarked or something.
Yeah, okay, so from that point it is. That makes sense.
Just a quick one, though. I mean, you made an interesting point going back to you saying you don't think it's been passed on from generation 20, 30, 40 years down the line. Who do you think will be reading those newspapers?
I think it is dying out, don't you think?
I know, maybe hipsters.
it just doesn't seem to. I mean, even the magazines, I mean, BC, you would know. It's a challenge at the moment because you can now, people want it online rather than getting the print.
Yeah.
Would you agree? So,
yeah,
those challenges.
It's a mixed bag. I mean, you know, printing these days is printing is a major expense to begin with. Mm. Mm. So if you're writing a book or you've got a magazine or you've got a newspaper, you got to know your story. And there's got to be a demand before you even print.
Yeah.
So you can't afford to just try something and hope that advertisers will also give you money. You know, it's got to be a calculated thing, you know, and you've got to have a big brother of some sort that can
like
fund
Gupta.
It. Yeah, like a course. Course. I mean, course.
Of
course, his kids are listening.
But you know what? There is a, it's like a chicken and egg scenario with this, because you want people to advertise, but they can't advertise. They don't want to till they see the product.
Right.
So now you got to give a product, but you can't get an ad because they, you know, and so you got to give the first one or two away for free, basically.
But
and then you got to have distribution,
yeah.
And then only do you get those guys. Hopefully, if you have a good product on board.
They usually...
because you did a magazine, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, we were under-resourced. That's one of the reasons, I think, lack of experience and lack of funds. That's why my magazine project didn't work. You need to drop a few bar to get something like that going.
Like a marketing expense,
I mean, we sold... I had to sell my house to start Black.
Oh, dear. That's why you're here with us.
You know, that's why, you know.
Where's your... Oh, that's your bed there in the corner.
Yeah. No, luckily, Cliff Central, there's lots of beds here, you know.
It's comfy couches. But, you know, it's good for our listeners to also hear the negative side of it. Because everyone thinks, starting a business, let me do this, you know, I can get it going.
Even a website. I say to people, start a Facebook page. Hold on with the website, create a community, and then when you have a popular community, you know, try to send them to the website.
Or right.
You can even sell things on Facebook.
Right.
Challenge though with that is that you don't actually own the asset. You know,
that
something
is true.
A website, something like a magazine or a newspaper, you can actually call an asset. It can value it. Mm. Facebook can pull down anything anytime. They can pull the plug on you. So you can imagine working for years to create something and you transgress
but
one of their rules.
Why
would they? Look, I mean, you can transgress any rule. They can do it for whatever reason. Mm.
But if they're making money out of you, it's probably unlikely.
Mm.
You have to
Which
do something
are.
Completely unethical.
Mark is making a lot of money.
They've even phoned me. This lady phoned me from the States. And she had a Spanish accent. And she said, we want to help you to make a success of your page. Because at that stage, I've probably spent about $1,000 on rands only on Facebook.
On advertising.
Yeah,
Facebook
phoned
advertising.
I think they just
well,
thought,
that's brilliant,
Let's
though.
Phone this boyky and maybe we can make more money out of it.
He's willing to.
And now tell us a bit more about your page. I mean, what does your page entail? Who are you mentoring?
It's called, there's a website which is like a car portal where you look for, if you want to buy a used car or a new car, it's called Motor Talk.
Okay.
And then the Facebook page, it's quite new, but we broke 10,000 likes the other day, and we don't buy likes.
Nice.
And you don't buy them.
We have 10. No, fantastic. We have 10,000 users as well. And our video that we made, we did a shootout or a drag race between a Ford Ranger Bucky 3.2 and a VW Amarok.
Right.
And that's almost has 30,000 views on YouTube. So I mean it's not millions, but we're going to make it into a series called Bucky Wars, because the guys are
this
like
this is a Buddha show,
It is.
It is. Eh?
That is a Buddha show, but
it is
also going to do.
You also drive like that.
Not like I've a boor.
There's going to be another series that we're going to do, and that's going to feature Vilmarie. She just doesn't know it yet.
Oh, okay.
Is that why you hear Justice?
Motorcycles and cars.
Right.
Oh, cool.
Right.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm curious. What is up and coming? I saw something at International Motor Show about the new Ford GT that looks amazing.
Yes, it does.
For the Le Mans, am I right?
It celebrates their win in 1966. They
after 50 years or something.
Yeah, it's like a sort of a little birthday present to themselves or a little they commemorating, is that the word?
Something
That win, the Le Mans win 1966, where Ford decided they want to kick Ferrari's butt.
Right.
Because Ferrari, I think one of the Ford, it couldn't have been Henry, but one of the Fords wanted to buy a Ferrari to go racing, I think. And then there was a spat, and then they said, well, we'll build our own Ferrari beating Le Mans car.
Right.
Which they did, and they became the year in 1966. They became first. They came first, second, and third.
That's phenomenal.
Speaking of which, I saw a new car yesterday in Melrose Arch. The Adam Opel.
Yes.
What's your take on that?
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it. It's a lacquer drive. It's got a. There are two models, and one has the top pick has a 1.2 is it a 1 liter? I think it's a 1 liter. Yeah, a 1 liter turbocharged engine.
Right.
And it's very lively. You know, these engines are becoming smaller and smaller, but they give them turbochargers, and then they perform really well, especially at low revs.
Okay.
So you don't have to wait for the engine to wake up. The power is there from low down.
Yes.
But it's an entry-level car, is that right?
No, it's more of a boutique hatch.
They're going after the Fiat range, eh?
Fiat 500 Mini, although Mini has sort of gone beyond now.
Yeah.
And
Citroën
DS3, yeah. So the Atom is cheaper. I think it's for people who wanted to buy a Mini.
Right.
They want something funky they can customize. You know, you can go on the website and pick all sorts of colors and wheels and little design touches. And apparently that is what young people want. I'm not young anymore, so I don't know.
You're young enough to capture the heart of somebody in the room, you know?
How are you, Brugan?
It's on. So, we're discussing Swaziland. Do you know anything about Swaziland?
I've ridden through Swaziland on a motorcycle on the way to Mozambique.
Okay.
But that's about... I know very little. I sort of know what the common man knows about Swaziland, but I do get angry when the king takes another wife.
Maybe it's because it's too close
to home.
You know, so you wouldn't have another
jealousy.
Wife.
I don't
would
know.
You? Would you take another wife? Obviously, if we had to give you one,
if I could afford it, probably.
Okay, so if Cliff Central wanted to give you a wife from the Black Life show, you know,
yeah.
would you humbly accept? Because yes. You can't turn down a gift.
Listen, you black people just give wives away, women away. Us white people don't work like that.
But then you would run away from it.
What is the fine print? Say how many heads of cattle?
Well, it depends on how many you want to pay us. But we minimum. You know, what is Zuma own guns like? 220 million. I think you know over time. You know, you'd have to pay us that.
Okay.
Obviously, you know.
Okay, as long as the interest rate isn't too high.
Right. No. Never. We like giving away.
Unwanted things.
So.
Yes. So now that we've identified that Justice and all of us don't know enough about Swaziland.
Yeah.
Is there an awareness drive, or do you think right now it would be time for Swaziland to get a president?
Well, the system first has to change. You can always plug under the current regime. You can have anything. The king is powerful enough to nominate just about anyone that he pleases for a presidency.
Right.
The system itself, the regime has to change. Swaziland deserves democracy just like every other country in the world. And under the current regime, where the king is above constitution and there are no separation of powers, and the king appoints as he pleases and he fires as he pleases. For example, the chief justice in Swaziland is a Mosutu man by the name of Mr. Judge Ramo Tibedi from Lesotho. Now, there's nothing wrong with the fact that he is from Lesotho. The fact is, he is there at the king's behest. Not through any formalized system. He has a contract.
Has to do what the king says at
precisely.
The end of the day. Yeah,
precisely.
So
and we've seen the downside to that. People being jailed for writing an article that is critical of the chief justice, let alone the system. Two people happen to be in jail right now. Begi Makubu and Rudolf Masego, who's a human rights lawyer.
Right.
The one big owns a magazine, an independent magazine called The Nation, and the other one
in Swaziland,
right. And the other one
human rights, and he's locked up.
Yeah, he wrote an article, and he Beggy published it, and they were accused or charged with contempt, a broad definition of contempt, and it was very critical of the chief justice, but by implication, it was critical of the king,
right.
And so they ended up being charged and sentenced to, I think, 7 years in prison. And as we speak, they're in prison right now. Now, that's the kind of thing that is just abnormal. This is the 21st century.
And this is all in your book?
No, that's coming because that's a recent occurrence.
Right,
yeah, they were sentenced and sent to jail about 12 months ago.
I'm curious, who is your reader? Who did you write this for? Yeah.
It isn't one. There's two. There's two parts of it. There's a two. I'd say Swazis certainly, but as much the international community. Swaziland relies on other countries to survive, and in the main, South Africa. And thirdly, or secondly, the academia. It is a historical narrative, so it does need to go into the classroom for generations after us to know where Swaziland came from, whether it improved.
So
or
it's
implodes.
For historians. So it's basically no. For historians.
You can't narrow it down that everyone is a historian because everyone has an history, interest in, right. in some topic. If you want to know lay a foundation, the understanding of where what Swaziland is as a nation and how right. it came about and why it is on the brink of implosion, you have to read that book. Whether you're teaching someone in a classroom, or whether you're walking outside, or just simply just riding across Swaziland,
okay,
you know, it's a nonfiction account of Swaziland.
Right.
Now, yeah. But now that we know a little bit about what it's about, where would you, I mean? And we also know costing of magazines. We were talking about yes. it just now. But surely a book, I mean, that would be quite a price.
I think
exercise.
So too.
Yeah.
Did you get assistance with this or? Did you fund this yourself?
I funded it myself. Enough to get it online. Right now, I'm speaking to a publisher to get the hard copies going. Because
yeah, it's not us. Because he'd be rich by now if he was us. So it's only online.
For now. It's just a matter of weeks or months before the
hard copy.
Yeah,
okay.
Because
so that is
there's
your
a
goal
huge
with
demand
it.
for hard copy. And I miscalculated, believing that since everyone is on the iPad or some tablet, that there would be a migration, even for the international audience, with people that I went to school with and people that taught me and people that I know who are all over the world. For sentimental reasons and for the love of convention, still would rather have the hard copy for posterity, I guess.
Okay. So just on closing now, the show, could you just tell our listeners where exactly they can find it, what it's called?
Yeah. The title is the author is Nhlanhla SMCB. The title is The Delayed Revolution: Swaziland in the 21st Century. It is available on Amazon.com, and if my memory doesn't fail me, the ISBN is 9780620635582.
Okay, great. Thank
I've had to write it time and again on Facebook.
But you actually memorized it now. That's fantastic. Justice, just tell us quickly your website again, please.
It's MotorTalk, talk.co.za. So it's not talk as in
the power.
The
okay, so
it's
talking.
MotorTalk.
Perfect.
.co.za. And then the motorcycle website is bikeroutes.co.za.
So how do you spell awesome. That? MotorTalk?
MOTOR.
Yeah.
talk.co.za.
Okay, right.
And motorcycle routes.
Bike routes.
Yeah. Well, I think from us, thank you.
Quickly, Pateni. Exercises for 2015.
We don't have time. We're over.
We do. O'Neill owes us time from last year, by the way. Onizi, you owe us.
You know what? Next Friday, we have some health things going.
Let's go. Quickly.
Just 1 minute, 10 things that you need to know when buying running shoes.
Right.
1 minute, literally. The first thing is don't buy cheap shoes. A lot of people want a budget on shoes. Just go for good quality shoes or else you'll get injured and you'll really regret it. Number two, do a little bit of running style research before you go buy shoes. Okay? Understand what
Adidas.
Type of...
So get some Adidas shoes. That's what you're saying.
No. Understand the type of foot that you are, whether you pronate or supinate. Number three, looks and style are not a priority. Let's stop going for looks. Go for functionality. Okay? Number four, buy shoes in the afternoon. It's quite a weird one, but don't do it in the morning because your foot swells up during the day. Do it in the evening when it's biggest. Okay, number five, buy at a running store. Don't just walk into an ordinary store. Go to a specialty store if you want to get good running shoes. Okay, number six, dress appropriately.
To go buy shoes.
Number seven, yeah. Don't go buy shoes when you're dressed in your suit on a lunch break. Okay, number seven, buy slightly bigger shoes. You need it for your room space. Otherwise, you're going to get black toes or you're going to get blisters. Okay, number eight, try out a few options before you go for your last shoes. So, I mean, if you've got six pairs, try them all out. Don't try the first and decide on that first one. Okay, number nine, bring your old running shoes if you've ever bought them. It gives the guy who's helping you a good indication of what type of running shoes you might need. And then, last but not least, test run your preferences. Like you would with any car, if you are going to buy a car, you test drive, test run your shoes before you decide on buying those shoes.
We love you. It's Black Lifestyle Justice. Will you come back and do some motoring stuff with us, Ntanta? We'll call you. We definitely have to have you on the show. I think social media is buzzing.
Goodbye, Vumari,
we love you. Do me show in the air. Black Life.